What about now?
Very
It's good?
much better.
Perfect. So again, my name is Rohit. I work as a program manager in the Exchange team. And my focus today is to talk about the Mail, Calendar, and Contact REST APIs that we have introduced recently. Just a couple of months ago, we brought this out at SharePoint conference and then again at the Microsoft Exchange conference. So if most of you were there, I guess, for the last session where Matthias spoke about authentication and authorization using OAuth. And so now imagine, like, if you had the token, if you've registered your app, what can you do with those tokens? So this is a subset of all the Office 365 APIs. And the idea is that we provide an ever-growing list of APIs through Office 365 so that developers can have a experience which is not bifurcated. So if they want to access mail or calendar or files or groups or tasks, they can use the same APIs, same programming model. By the way, anybody wants to know what's the score between Brazil and Mexico? No? You must be motivated to be here when the match is going on. So why? Well, there are a few key features that we thought we wanted to do this. One was that it's a much more easier programming model than what we have today with Exchange Web Services, which is a SOAP or a managed API model. You know, SOAP APIs were a flare maybe 6-7 years ago, but they're cumbersome to learn, cumbersome to discover, and also more difficult to start up with. Especially if your target is like an app developer, right? Because you want to be cross-platform, you want it to be light, and you want it to be quick. So those are some of the key principles that we've used to make sure that we land our REST APIs. The other thing is that Exchange has many, many petabytes of data, right? And this data is growing rapidly. So as app developers or web app developers or applications within enterprises, you want to be able to use this data to enhance the experiences of workflows that we are building. So, you know, this is not typically to create a full mailbox client, right? You don't want to use REST APIs to create something like Windows Outlook or OAuth or something like that. This is like if you're building a project management app or something like that, and you want to enhance that app by getting in data from mail, by getting in data from calendars, by getting in integrations for contacts. You can use these to enhance those experiences very seamlessly. It is based on open standards. It again helps you ramp up faster and use the talent that you already have in your organization to build rather than teach them new skills. I guess Matthias must have gone deeply into the granular and tightly scoped permissions, right? The old model was that you give the keys to the kingdom, right? You give everything. If you give somebody a username, password, they have access to anything and everything you can do. But as a app developer, that becomes a hindrance to adoption, because once you ask for everything, people are going to be like, no, I'm not going to be allowing you to do that, especially in enterprises. Imagine if you are Coca-Cola and if you want to have an external app be used in your enterprise, the administrator is going to be like, I'm never going to allow somebody to access all your information, like sending email on your behalf or looking at all your contacts. But they might be okay saying yes. For this scenario, we are okay giving contacts permission, but another enterprise will be okay giving mail read permission. So that's the idea, is to help both app developers gain adoption and also for enterprises to be selectively allowing data to be accessed. I think I touched upon a little bit about why this is useful, because of web-friendly APIs, and definitely tend very well towards mobile development. So what I'll also cover is I'll go deeper into each of these specific APIs, mail, calendar, and contacts, what we offer. It's pretty simple, you'll see. And we'll go through some examples, and I'll show you how you can use them to create emails, read emails, and stuff like that. So at the root level, what we offer is the metadata, which shows you what are the different entities, all the different complex types, enumerations that our service has to offer. And the reason is that if you were trying to understand, say, hey, I want to give it a shot, I want to learn what the mail APIs are, then you could start here and say, let me just see what the service has to offer. And if you go here, you'll see all the list of different entities that are there. So for example, here I have the message type, which shows you all the different properties message has. So similarly, all the different entities will be available with their properties and types. Once you've figured out what the service metadata looks like, you can not only browse it yourself, but you can also point tools to it so that you can generate proxy classes and stuff like that. Once you have looked at the service metadata, the top level entity that we provide is a me. And me is nothing but equal to the authenticated user. So you can alias it as saying that, you know, give me information about me, or you can also use users of the SMTP address. Both are the same thing. And the service route is EWS/OData. So Outlook Office 65.com, EWS/OData, and from there, if you go to me, you can further go in and see different features, which I'll show you. It's available today. So, you know, if you have a Office 65 subscription, you can get a free trial. If you don't, you can start playing with it using just a browser today. All right, so the main feature, so calendar is actually the most richest of what we have. There are two permissions, read and read write, pretty easy to understand. Read gives you access to all these entities and you can look at them. And read write will allow you selectively to do some CRUD operations apart from read. So the main entities are calendar group. This is just a logical grouping of different calendars. So in Exchange, you know, you can have multiple calendars associated with you. A calendar group is a way to say, okay, this is my family calendar, this is my work calendar, this is my, you know, Project X calendar. And then you can have multiple calendars within them. Right now, we don't offer create or update on calendar groups and calendar. Once you have a calendar, the main thing that you would do there is to have appointments or events within a calendar. This is, you know, pretty rich in functionality. You can create them, read, update, delete, and you have some actions like accepting, declining a meeting. Within events, you can have attachments. So you can send an email to somebody saying, hey, this is a project meeting, this is a document, please read this, so that kind of thing. Below here, you will see a sample of how you would access a calendar. So it's pretty intuitive. If you see, when from me, you say calendar, that defaults to your default calendar. So, you know, most people will have a default calendar. If you choose, not many people choose to create a new one. That's why we have given an easier way to access it. And then within calendar, if you want to see all the events, you can just say /events, and it'll list you all the events that you have. All right, so after calendar, the main API is mail. So in mail, you'll see one big difference is that we have a third permission here. Not only do we have read, write, but we also have send. And the reason is that after talking to a lot of customers, one thing that a lot of people were very hesitant about is that there were also a lot of apps which were going to make changes to your inbox, like they'll take messages and they'll put it in some folder, but they didn't want permission to send emails on your behalf. So that's why we've separated read, write, and send. The main entities are folder, and within folder you can have messages, and then within message you can have an attachment again. You can create a folder, update, move, or copy. Similarly, for message, you can create, move, copy, but also reply, forward, and send. Similar samples, you can go from me to your inbox. And if you see, we have inbox. You also have three other well-known folders, like drafts, sent items, and deleted items. Because they are very commonly used folders, we have created an easy way to access them. There is a generic way also to access all folders, which is through me/folders. So if you go to me/folders, it's a collection in which you provide an ID, and you can go to any folder. So let's say if you have a nested folder, which is like four levels deep, you can just find the ID and always navigate to it by going folders of ID. Then, of course, once you reach a folder, you can look at child folders below it, or you can look at messages. And then from messages, if you wanted to go to attachments, you would just say message of attachment. The last is contacts. There's not a lot in contacts. It's actually pretty simple. You have a contact folder, and then you have contacts within it, read and read write permissions. And these are some samples of how you would access contacts. Now, one thing to note is that these are not contacts which are in your organization. these are contacts that you have attached to your mailbox. So let's say that you have a friend, you get his email ID, and you add like friend at gmail.com or friend at hotmail.com, then those contacts will be here. But if you are part of an org and say foo at contoso.com is your peer, then he will not show up in this contact list. This is your personal contact list, not your company contact list. For that, you should use the Graph API, the Azure Active Directory. So as I was talking about earlier, that you know the target is to make sure that we have different applications built using this REST API, and our target is mobile developers. One of the things that we did is we came up with an Android SDK for using the REST API. It is available on GitHub, Office Dev. It provides you an easy programmability story for going to Eclipse, downloading the SDK, and start writing code like me.inbox and get all the messages, all the proxy classes, everything are already available. So this is an example of what the coding could look like. So this is, I think it fits right well with this crowd talking about interop, right? We are also working on an iOS SDK. And of course, we have a .NET SDK in Visual Studio, which I think Matthias kind of alluded to. But the Visual Studio SDK is really kick-ass because it completely encapsulates the whole experience of registering the app, getting the permissions set up, and then providing you with samples on how to access SharePoint files or exchange mail and contacts and everything. So you can get up and start, get up and running with a project in maybe like 10 minutes. And it definitely encapsulates a lot of the complexity of how to manage an application in Azure Active Directory, how to set up the permissions and stuff like that. So here I wanted to kind of spend a few minutes in showing some of the queries that you can do. So some canonical examples are, let's say if you wanted to get a few messages from your inbox, then you could go to inbox, say messages, and say top five. In fact, what should I do is I should probably show you some of these in, again, because we are doing interop, I'm going to use Chrome. Let me duplicate it so I can see what I'm typing. Yep, perfect. So if I go here, so this was the metadata that I was telling you earlier. So you can go and explore. You don't have to look at any documentation. You don't have to go and say, okay, MSDN or buy a book. You go to the metadata service. It lists you all the different properties, their types. So you get a feel of, OK, these are the various things that I can play with. And then as I said, the first thing you do is you go to me. And from here, you get a lot of navigation links to further browse and see what's available. So from me, we don't display a lot of rich user data. Again, as I said, to get user data which belongs to the tenant, you need to use the Graph API. So here, if I want to then go to inbox, you can see the inbox folder. You can replace this with me just to shorten the URL. So it tells you what are the different folders, how many items do I have. This is actually my inbox in our dog food environment. And then if I want to see the messages, I just want to see the top one message. It shows you all the properties for the message. So if you were a programmer, you'd be like, oh, before I even start writing code, it'll be so good for me to just go and see some sample data, see what the properties look like, what values do they have, so I can be much better prepared when I write the code. And if you wanted to see more, you can see the next message. There's also a skip. By the way, Michael Pizzo, the father of Oreta, has a bunch of sessions tomorrow. So if you want to learn more about OData, he'll definitely go much deeper into all the different properties it has. And that was one of the reasons we picked OData, is because it has a very rich syntax for querying. And it's a standard, so many Microsoft services are adopting it, and also outside. So you learn it once, and then you can apply it in various services. So then another one is Skip. You can use this for paging and stuff. So let's say that I wanted two messages, but I want to skip the first two that I got. Then you can use Skip. And of course, there are, what else was there? So you got the five top few messages, get the next few messages, and you can then, of course, sort the message by some ordering. Go back. So I can say order by equals, I think it was date time created. There. So if you look at this one, this is a different message, and see, this is at 2012. So that's an old message. I think you can do descending. And then you get, look at here. So this is today's message. So very easy to explore, and similarly, there are more things you can do. This one is, I think, very useful, which is to select just a few properties that you're interested in. For example, if you're writing a mobile app, you don't want all the 50 properties. You just want the list of like three or four that you are interested in. So you can specify which ones you want. So you can say select equals, say, I just want the subject. Yeah. So all OData properties have the format of a dollar sign. There, so you saw the messages much smaller now. You just have the subject. And then you have much more richer querying syntax with things like filter, which allow you to specify a lot of string functions and logical operators and operands. And one of the examples is for a filter is you can use contains or starts with. So it can become really powerful as a query language, so you can narrow the scope of what you want to be very selective. All right. All right, so next I wanted to show you how you would use So what you saw was read, right? So you saw various ways to read different things. Like you saw how to read messages, how to select messages which are specific. I can also show you maybe if you want to look at events and stuff, right, quickly. So if you go to calendar, you know, it shows me my default calendar. And if I want to look at my events, there. Similarly, you can see contacts. It shows all the different contacts I have. And you can apply the same filtering on all these collections. So yeah, so you saw how you can do reads. And next I'll focus on showing you how to create a message, how to update and delete. So that'll give you a flavor of the different CRUD operations that you can perform, and also an example of an action maybe. So what we are trying to do here is we want to create a child folder, which means within inbox, please create a folder for me. So if you see, the request type is post, and the payload that I'm sending is I'm specifying what is the entity that I'm creating and the parameter. So let's say so there, I say, and so right now I'm using basic auth, but if you had the authentication token, then you would use that. You'll supply the token with the request. So there, my request completed with a 201, which means created. And if I look at the response, it says that here is the display name of what I created, and this is the ID. And if I go to my, this is my email inbox, there you see, I have 101 plugfest that I just created now under my inbox. I mean, under my calendar, under my mailbox. Actually, it is under inbox. So next, let's say if I wanted to create a message. So you see here, I'm saying in inbox messages collection, post, and the body is create a message with these properties, right? So some test subject and some test email. So if I say execute, again, get a 201 created. If I go back to my inbox, there I have the email shows up, right? Next would be, I wanted to update this email, so right, this is the update part of the CRUD. Here, I need to specify the message ID. So to get that, when we created the message, the response contained the ID. So you can go and grab that. And plug it in to my request. I'm showing you the raw requests, how they look, right? If you're going to use an SDK, then you're not going to be doing this. You will probably be doing message.create or something like that. But the reason this is important is that, let's say that the SDK doesn't support the platform that you are interested in, let's say PHP or Perl or something, then you can still create your raw requests using this, and it's pretty easy. So here I'm going to make it updated. Something went wrong. Let's see what happened. So I might have copied the wrong ID, because it says that the ID was not found. Let's see. Okay, try again. Nope. Let's go back. Grab the ID. Looks the same. And the ID is still there, or did I move it? Yeah, it's still here. What am I doing here? So I have an update message on the ID. One more time. Yep. It was just a copy paste error, most likely. There, see, it's updated to 103. All right, so what else can you do? So I showed you how to create, update. I'll show you delete, but before that, there's also a concept in OData called actions, which are very convenient to specify verbs that would generally not be easily explained in just patch or update or things like that. So for example, in mail, we have a concept of send messages, right, and copy. It's not easy to provide functionality for copy using patch. So you could provide a request body and say this action contain an action parameter or something and say, okay, this is copy, but that's not very intuitive at all. So that's why, let me show you an example of copying a message. So same format, what we did here. Let me see if I have an example here which I could use. Yeah, there. So same, I need to do two things here. I need to first specify which message I want to copy. So this is the message that we just had updated. And then I have to specify where I want to copy it. So that's the destination ID, which is the folder that I want to copy it to. So we can grab the folder that we just created some time ago, get the ID for that. So this was the folder which we created, 101 Plugfest. So I'm going to grab the and then I'll go back here. And this should work. Let's try that. Perfect. So now if I go back, this message exists here, but it should also be in this folder. And there it is. So you can see it there. It's showing it as a conversation because it has there are two copies of the same message. One is here. And one is here. And if you look at the URL, it has copy in the end. The last thing is, you know, you can of course delete the message. So if I go back to this one which we had used to update, if I change this to delete, that should work. There, it says 204. I go back, it's deleted from my inbox. But this one still is there because that one was a copy. All right, cool? Nope. Let me move. So these are just some basic best practices that, you know, when you are an app developer, you should kind of keep in mind. You know, there is provide some kind of instrumentation in your app so that if you need to have engage the service team with telling us that, hey, we are having trouble with our app, it'll be easy for us to kind of find all the requests that are attributed to your app. Maintain a failure log for troubleshooting. Be mindful of requests that generate a large amount of responses. You know, your app, I mean, before even forget the service and how you might hurt the service, but your app performance depends on it, right? Getting too much data, being very chatty can be some things that you should avoid. Again, if you do make a lot of requests, then you know all services will try to protect themselves, and so is Exchange Service. So there are throttling policies in place which will slow you down or even stop responding to you if you are extremely chatty. Again, as I said, you know, using these kind of best practices using OData can help you also reduce the payload that you both send and get. Key summary and takeaways for me, I would say it allows you to create end-to-end applications which are not only Exchange-specific or SharePoint-specific or group-specific or people-specific. They take the breadth of Office 365. So as a developer, you don't have to worry that, okay, if I want to get files, then I have to use this programming language and this programming model. If I have to get mail, then I have to use a different way to do it. They both have different authorization and authentication systems. So that's the goal here, is we're trying to unify all that to make it really easy for developers to be able to access data across various workloads. Lightweight, quick, and easy to learn and develop, and great cross-platform developer tools. They are increasing. We have, as I said, you know, we have Android, and we have iOS, which will be coming out soon, and of course, .NET. And then we also will be allowing people to use tools like Xamarin and Cordova in Visual Studio to create cross-platform apps for various platforms which are not only limited to just Android and iOS. Feedback, references, of course, you know, you can send me an email anytime. I'm very interested in hearing back from folks because this is in preview. We are very eager to change or make updates as we hear back from customers who are using it. There is a good set of documentation available on dev.office.com. So if you just go to dev.office.com, the first link that you'll see is the REST APIs. And that gives you a good amount of examples and samples and everything. Again, articles on MSDN. Go to officespdev.uservoice.com. Use the tools. And that's about it. Anything else? Any questions?
Are there any plans to offer this API for on-premises Exchange?
Not at the moment. At the moment, this is available on Exchange Online. But you know, there are a couple of things there. One is the a lot of people also ask about the consumer site, which is Hotmail. And when will this be available there? And then there's a big number of customers who are interested in also the enterprise and the hybrid model, where there are customers who have it on-prem and there are some users on cloud. So I don't have a date for you to say, yeah, this is going to be available when. But yeah, this is something which is in our radar. Yeah, because we realize that a lot of enterprises will benefit with applications that are in-house. And there are also a lot of app developers who have come to us and said that we want to build apps and we can sell it to enterprises who are not yet on Exchange Online. Yep.
Is there like anything where you can have notifications, like with permanent sessions to it, and not, you know, just going by push pull all the time?
Absolutely. Yeah. So notifications and sync are features that are also in the pipeline. We don't have it today, but yes, we've heard from many, many folks exactly what you said. And we realized that, you know, having anybody who would be using mails, especially because, you know, with events and contacts, the set can be smaller, so it's okay. But with messages, it could be in 10, 50, 100,000 items. And you don't want to be keeping track of what you have and not have at the client side, especially if you're building smaller clients. So yeah, so that is also something that will come soon. So we will have a way to do notifications where you will be notified that, hey, something has changed in your target collection. So you could basically attribute a particular collection and say, okay, tell me whenever something happens to this message collection or to inbox. And then you'll get notified, and then you can do a sync by calling our sync API. Yeah, a couple of other things that people have been asking for is, extended properties, because Exchange has like each mailbox and a message might have like hundreds of properties, and we expose a small set of that. It's a good set, and it's a set that we have gone over quite a lot to figure out what it is. But then there are companies and applications which use some property like for keywords or something, and they have been asking us to a way to generically expose all customer extended properties.
So.
Yeah, so today people who are on Exchange Online use a lot of these default properties for various reasons in their apps. So they might have a custom property which they use with some annotation or something, and they might use it in their app by providing some value. So you use it like a data store. And then when they don't see that property here, they say it breaks their workflow because they cannot finish the scenario without it. So they want a generic way to say, yeah, you're showing me these 20 properties, but can you also expose like a property bag or something like that in which I can get a name value pair? And those are basically name value pairs of properties that they already have in their tenant. Yeah, so for going to general availability, again, we have not announced any specific date, but I would say that is top of mind. The things that I would say are top of mind are getting out of preview, because we are encouraging people to not go to production just on preview, because you know it's not a supported release. So a lot of customers that we are talking to want to go to production, and they are like, hey, can you get it out to production so we can actually take dependency. So that's top of mind. Second are features, like I just mentioned. One of them is sync and notification, and external properties is maybe after that. But the other item is to expand the scope of the REST APIs to not just be Office 365, but also look at consumer side, which is Outlook.com, and also hybrid and on-prem. That's also not there today, no. So we don't have pre-busy. The calendar team is working on exposing that. Anything else? So global, I mean, to get to the tenant address book, the recommendation is to use Graph API.
Right.
Yeah. And so if you see there are, you know, there's already, you know, we don't want multiple people to be the masters of data. So if Graph API is the master to get to user information, we want to keep it that way. If something is missing there, then we will add to it. That's kind of the sense that the teams are taking, is that let's not have 20 ways of accessing one thing, because it just gets confusing.
Help a little bit in the on-prem version, right? So in the on-prem.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the challenges going on-prem, is their Active Directory model is very different. Yep. So yeah, so please build apps, or even if not apps, definitely go to just the URL, outlook.office65.com, and try it. And if you have any suggestions on how we can improve it, then you know, we're very, very eager to hear from you. That's it. Thank you.